Before we get started here, I want to make a few announcements. First of all, I introduced Ron yesterday. This is Ron Beeman, videotaping our production here. I don't know how many of you have ever been to an event like this or any other event, but isn't it nice how unobtrusive the camera people and the video production has been? I mean, we haven't had lights around here, and we hadn't had problems, and we hadn't had all kinds of real bad feedback. I think we owe Ron a round of applause for his work. As I mentioned earlier, of course, Ron is a businessman. He produces videos. You should keep your eyes open, because if you see a seminar somewhere or a presentation by a speaker and you want to get it produced, remember, Ron travels anywhere, and he takes his whole crew with him, and it's this type of setup, a very professional setup. It takes a very small space. They can shoot without extra lights or electricity, and in an hour, they can give you a product. So if you're interested in products, his card is in your box, but you also may want to discuss or talk to him while you're here this week. Also, while you're here this week, if you want to make a video and you're going to stay here tomorrow or Saturday or Sunday, Ron has a full studio set up downtown adjacent to ours, and he can actually shoot your video while you're here. And sometimes the best time to shoot a video is before you think about it too hard, because you'll get nervous. Some of the other things I want to talk about is, a lot of you have been wanting to know about the videotapes and the letter that David Deutsch wrote and some other things that are going on. What I'm going to do as part of my plan is that about 10 days after you get home, and by the time you've been real excited about all this stuff and it starts to kind of to cool off, you're going to get a letter from me. And the letter is going to, first of all, provide the names and addresses of everybody here who wanted you to have their names and addresses. And on each person, it's going to have a little piece of resource information. So if you do something that you want people to know about, or if you are interested in information that you want people to know about, you'll be able to fill that out on some cards that we pass out. In addition, you're going to get a list, a directory, or a Rolodex of all the experts that were here in attendance. And those are going to be the experts that spoke, as well as some of the experts in the audience that have been involved but really didn't make a formal presentation. In addition, you're going to get 3 to 5 pages from me summarizing all the points we covered up here to kind of restimulate you again to remind you what this was all about. I'll probably also include some extra catalogs and some things that I pick up between now and then. You'll also get information on David Deutsch's letter. I'm going to mail that letter, and we're going to mail it out to 100,000 people. And over the next 6 months, I'm going to keep you informed, up to date, on every penny that it costs me to mail that and every penny we make. So that while you're sitting there and you're saying, I could be doing that, hopefully when you get those letters every month or every couple of months and I mail them to you, you'll say, why didn't I do that? And I'm going to stay in contact with you that way with quarterly letters. They're going to be very informal letters. And in those quarterly letters, I will be glad to print any success reports from anybody in this room, if anybody has success. And I'd kind of like some of you to challenge yourselves to be the first person to make $10,000 from a mailing, or be the first person to mail 10,000 letters. You know, as we discussed, it only costs you about $600 to actually do something. To actually mail the first 1,000 letters is going to cost you about $600. And that's really all it takes. It takes that and the desire to do it. And I'd sure like to see some of you to be successes. I've had personal conversations with some of you saying that if you're not successes, I'm going to print that in my newsletter also. And what we're going to do right now is hand out this right here. There is a index card on it. I'd like for you to put your name, if you like. Now, this is for privacy and security reasons. If you don't want your name spread out, I can totally understand that. And don't feel under any obligation. This is for the register of participants that we're going to mail to everybody else. And if you do get on this list, you can expect a lot of the sharp marketers in this room to mail you something, either an offer or a copy of their offer or information about what they're doing. If you don't want to receive mail at home or don't want people to know where you live, put your business address on here rather than your home. Also on this card, feel free to put any resource. I mean, if you feel that you're a copywriter, or if you feel that you're want to know something more about something, be sure and put it on this card. In addition, there is something called a Direct Mail Boot Camp 92, and this is our critique sheet. And I want your honest opinions of everything that happened here. And obviously, the more glowing ones I'm going to use as testimonials. You can put your name on this if you'd like. You don't have to if you don't want to. But what we want to know is feedback from you, what you think about this. Obviously, the things that you say that are really good, that sound great, that I can use in the letters that I mail out to encourage other people to buy these tapes, I'm going to use. And if with your permission, I'll be using your name. So if you want to see your name in 100,000 letters and in 10 different publications, say something nice. Otherwise, you can tell the truth. No, but we do want you to fill this out. Now, in the back of the room, there will be boxes for you to drop these in. And be honest. I mean, don't be afraid of hurting my feelings. And don't be afraid of hurting the feelings of anybody else that spoke here, because we need to know what was important to you and what you felt that you learned and didn't learn. And if there are a lot of people who say the same thing that they missed or they got the most out of, we'll include that type of summary in the follow-up information that we send you later on. Obviously, every one of you will be getting lots of mail from me and probably all the speakers here over the next several years until you either die or move, or until the speakers die or move. And most of those letters will probably be offering something. When you get those offers, don't say, golly, these guys are trying to sell me something again. Say, great, I have more research material that I can use when I write an offer for somebody else. I mean, a lot of times when I send things and when we write about things in our newsletters, not because we're trying to sell you something, it's because we're trying to show you something. Because I will send you every offer we mail to anybody forever. So when you get an offer from me saying, don't say, golly, Bill's trying to sell me something again, when's he going to quit? Say, look at this, Bill has got another direct mail project. Isn't this great? Let's see what he did this time that we can incorporate in our own direct mail project. And if you see that I have used some type of envelope and you want to know where I got that envelope, call me. And if you use my direct mail pitch or the offer that I sent out, word for word, except for, I mean, you can't use it for word, but if you use something like the order form and you draw it up, send it to me. I mean, I expect everybody in here to send me every one of your offers. I also expect you to send me some free products, too, so I can look at them. One of the things I will do is if you are writing an offer before you mail it, if you'll send it to me, I'll be glad to critique it. If you'll send it to me, and if you have any questions on anything, on marketing, call me. Don't write me. Call me. To write, it takes me about an hour and a half to write a letter and get it in the mail to you, and that takes a lot of time. But if you'll call me, you can call me and I can explain things and we can have a two-way conversation. And in most cases, you can get to me or Karen or someone in our office, except for during newsletter week in this hell. We're going to talk to about 12:30 about that, between 12 and 12:30, and then we're going to take 4 hours off. And in the four-hour period, we're going to invite you to come over to our office and see the operation, see exactly what it takes. Every one of you is going to be underwhelmed with what we have over there. You're going to see that it really doesn't take elaborate offices and lots of expensive equipment to do what we do. And you're going to meet some of the people, or actually our whole staff is here, all three of us, except for one person in our office, and you get to meet her. We'll have the printer set up. You'll see our direct address process where we use a low-cost dot matrix printer to direct address envelopes. We'll have our laser printer set up there. We'll have our Q&A word processing set up. But you can see the system of from the time a letter goes out to the orders start coming in, and we'll be processing orders while you're there. Actually, hopefully we'll be processing lots of orders. What I do ask is while you're there, remember that we're an operating business. And that when the phones ring, no matter what else is going on in the office, you have to be quiet, because that's probably money coming in. As a matter of fact, we may enlist some of you to answer phones and take orders if we have a good day. Okay, now with that said, I'm going to start the day out. We're going to bring the copywriters and everybody involved in product development up here. Why don't y'all come up here, because we're going to talk about some things I think everybody needs to know about. Hey, Karen, you had to bring them up. A lot of them were out riding go-karts last night and have a hard time standing up. You see this? Everybody know what this is? That's right. In your box of material that we handed out to you are several catalogs for office products. And that's where you get things like this. This is a box, and this is how they ship them to you. You can buy them in lots of 50 or lots of 100. Knowing that is going to make a difference in whether you get a product out. Also, in those catalogs, and when you get home, go through those catalogs, and you'll discover where we buy our jet, they call jet envelopes. Those are bubble pack envelopes that you can put products in. You'll find out where we find them, buy the mailing labels that we put on our boxes. You'll discover where we buy all the products in our office. We live here in the backwoods, the boondocks of Arkansas. And there are a lot of things that are simply not available here that many of you may take for granted, especially if you live in California or other places. So everything we do, we buy through the mails, and everything we sell through the mails. So that's why we have those catalogs in there. I'm going to go through these boxes. The box that I handed out to you, this, is the same as this. For a long time, we shipped our products in envelopes, in the jet envelopes. We no longer do that. Everything we ship goes in a box. We found out that it further reduces the return rate. It protects the product in shipping. It allows you more room to put more material in the box. And the cost of the box is actually less than the cost of a jet envelope. And the shipping cost is the same because the weight's the same. Very quickly, let's go through everything. I know you don't have your box. You remember why we put the postcards in the box? Stay in contact with your customers. The moment that a new customer places an order for you, handwrite a postcard thanking them for the order, telling them the package will be shipped in 3 to 4 days or today or whatever. Just stay in contact because you're going to impress them with service. Video production. This is Ron Beeman over there. Keep this, just remember, because someday you're probably going to want a video producer. You're going to run into somebody who wants a video producer. Explains to him, explains what he's doing. And you notice when you read this, it says, let us turn your ideas or events into marketable video products. The whole thing is designed to show you how you can turn, you're not making videotapes, you're making products. Now here's the catalogs. We use laser printers. This is where we get our toners from. Paper. Be sure to look through these catalogs because you won't believe the different kinds of papers that you can get and the envelopes that you can get. Let's have a microphone up here. Karen, would you bring a microphone down here, please? Hey, Ron, bring the volume up just a little bit on that one.
Okay. Yesterday you mentioned the Q&A. You recommend that. You said it was also available in an edition a year older or something?
Yeah, the 3.0 is available for $49 from Daymark. Or if you're a preferred customer from Daymark, it's $39. Daymark. How many of you get the Daymark catalog? If you do not get this catalog, here's their phone number, 1-800-729-9000. You do need to be getting the Daymark catalog. Also, you should be getting the comb catalog. How many of you get the comb catalog? I'm going to write this phone number down also. Comb is kind of like Daymark, but even less expensive on some of the items. Comb's numbers, they call themselves liquidators. 1-800-328-0609. Now, you don't want to buy products from them for resale, but you want to buy products from them for your office.
Please slow down. How are you spelling Daymark?
Daymark is D-A-M-A-R-K.
What's the other one?
Comb is C-O-M-B. And the other one is DAC. You should get DAC whether you order anything from there or not, simply to read Drew Kaplan's direct mail pitches. Karen, why don't you come on down here? DAC's phone number, that's D-A-K. Their phone number is 1-800-325-0800. As I said earlier, or yesterday and the day before, every time you see a catalog from anybody for anything, order the catalog.
Do I look like the type that would buy electronics through the mail? Yes, no?
No.
No. I'm not the type that would buy electronics through the mail, except for the fact that I spent $400 at DAC this Christmas. Because I bought my husband one of those magazine...
CD-ROMs?
No, one of those CD players that, with the magazines that you put the cartridge in
right.
For whatever.
Right.
And so they had this little deal then. Where's the upsell? Who's laughing? Do you have the DAC catalog?
I sure do. Stand up here where people see you. Looks like you're standing in a bucket down there.
I resemble that. You don't get it. Okay.
This is prime example. Women do buy from catalogs. That's good.
Even bright women.
Even bright women. Anyway, while she's looking something up to buy here, the other catalogs you have, all of these are for two reasons. One of examples of marketing, and another is to find you sources for products that you may not have known that have existed. Before you buy any public domain software, call me. I've got the complete IBM public domain library on my computer, 8,800 programs. You can buy it on a CD for $44. These guys sell programs for $3 a piece. Sometimes it's cheaper just to buy the whole library rather than to be paying $3 a piece for programs. This is a real bad catalog, a real good example of a bad catalog. Let me read you a product description here. Leader Waveform Vectorscope LBO-5860A/LVS-5850A, left parentheses, pair in rack mount carrier U9111212, $2,495. Does that get you excited? Critics' Choice Video. Remember when Ted Nicholas was saying yesterday that you could buy the rights for books? Of course, you can buy the rights for the videos. Well, suppose you buy the rights for several videos. What are you going to do with them? Put them in a video catalog, the same way what Ted does. He has a book catalog. Of course, you've got the video marketing letter. This is an example of how you can compile a book from back issues of newsletters. Anybody who's written newsletters, you can approach them and ask them to compile their books. Books like this to get printed are $1.21 a piece. This is 100 pages. You have the $1 million sales letters. It's a good example of sales letters, but it's a good example of how easy it is to create a product. You could go to somebody like Drew Kaplan and say, Drew, look, I'd like to have the rights to reprint your sales letters. And just put them in a book. It's called Drew Kaplan's Best Sales Letters. I'd probably buy the book. There are a lot of people in here who probably buy the book also.
Drew Kaplan is a great copywriter. One of the reasons that I bought electronics equipment through this catalog is because of the copy. Because the reason I didn't want to go into a store is because I didn't want somebody to convince me to buy something that I didn't know if I really wanted. I didn't want to walk into Circuit City or someplace and say I want to buy a Six magazine CD player, because I thought, you know, they're going to try and sell me all this kind of stuff and I'm not sure that I really want it and I'm not sure that I understand it. Well, I read the DAC catalog because I love to read the copy because it's so good. It communicates with you. It explains it clearly. He goes through all the benefits, and he explains it in real easy-to-understand language. So, of course, I picked out the one that I wanted, and it's not in here. It's not in this particular catalog, but then they have an upsell. So if you buy the CD player, you know, they've got this package deal, then you can go back and you can buy, if you buy the speakers with it, you know, it started out as being $199. I'm just making this up. Mm-hmm. $199 for the CD player. If you got the speakers with it, it bumps it up to $299 or $399, but whatever it was when you added it together, the package was a whole lot less and it was a better deal. So did I buy it? Absolutely. Now, how many catalogs did I get before I bought out of the DAC catalog? They just keep sending them. They keep coming to my house, but I eventually bought them. I mean, they know that I'm the type. And so I bought $400 worth of electronic equipment through the mail, and I ordered it 3 weeks before Christmas. And this, again, is a good illustration. 3 weeks before Christmas, and I got this little postcard that said, I ordered these $99 speakers that were supposedly good quality speakers, and they probably were. Well, of course, everybody else thought the same thing, and they ran out of speakers. But they kept sending me this little postcard in the mail that said, we're really sorry that we're out of the speakers. We're going to fulfill it as soon as possible. If you want to cancel the order, give us a call. Here's our 800 number. If not, if you don't return this postcard, we'll just assume that you want to be kept on the list. We haven't charged your credit card yet, and you know, we'll just wait to see if we hear from you. Well, I didn't get Steve's speakers until mid-February, and I ordered them 3 weeks before Christmas. But I wasn't really upset about it because they kept telling me what the problem was.
They kept you involved in the process.
They kept me involved. They kept getting these things from DAC in the mail. And so instead of saying, this really rips me off, I'm never going to order from these guys again because they didn't send my product until 2.5 months after I order it, I go, oh, that's really nice. They're really service-oriented, and I'll probably buy again. Don't anybody tell them that.
For those of you who may not have caught on, DAC is the name of the company. Drew A. Kaplan is the man who owns the company. So you figure out you got Drew A. Kaplan, DAC.
As far as that goes, how many ads do you see that have a byline on it? It says, by Drew Kaplan.
Right.
Doesn't it?
And what he does in almost all his headlines.
So it makes it sound like you're reading a magazine, not you're reading an ad.
See, he doesn't sell products. He has things like the $199 CD-ROM Assault or the $69 Snooper Stomper. Well, you don't know what that is, so you have to read to find out what he's selling. Or on some of them, he buys a lot of products. He says, let me read. Oh, this is, by the way, where I got my CD player. And, for example, if you buy a CD player, you get this ROM bonus, and you get things like the new Grolier's Electronic Encyclopedia, the library, the Future, the World Atlas, the Toolworks Reference Library, Monarch Notes, U.S. Atlas, Magazine Rack, Microsoft Stat Pack, U.S. History, the Bible Library, and Time Almanac. And these are all on different CDs, and you get the whole thing for about $400. But DAC is a good example. We couldn't get DAC catalogs because they tell us they print them up exactly the number of people they're going to mail them to. They don't print any extra because they've got a list. I don't know, that's what they told us. And we even offer to buy them. But DAC is a good catalog to get. Also in your box is Mountain West Communications. Do we remember who these people are? They'll take orders for you. They'll process them on their Visa MasterCard if you'd like, and they can actually fulfill for you, which means just ship them. They're very nice people. They are very straightforward and up people. If you have a product that they think is sleazy or even remotely illegal, they will not do business with you. And we like doing businesses with companies that have ethics.
What's their number?
Mountain West phone number. Oh, by the way, people here who are a guest of someone else, when we send a letter out, we're going to make these boxes available to you at cost. So if you came as a guest with somebody else and you're interested in one of these boxes, we will tell you how to get them with all the things in them. Mountain West Communications, their phone number, their toll-free number is 1-800-642-9378. That's 1-800-642-9378. There's other examples of catalogs.
You tell them Bill Myers recommended you.
Yeah, tell them Bill. No, that wouldn't help. There's a magazine called American Demographics. As marketers, you should be interested in demographics because that's why this book will help you decide what is happening in this country and how the age shift is one of the biggest phenomena and trends going on, and who's buying what and what part of the countries are buying what. What I really like about the magazine is the ads for products that I didn't know existed. Let's have a microphone here, please.
Bill, while you're there, can we spend a few minutes back on the Mountain West thing, wherever it is? Those people will take the 800 calls for you.
Right. They'll set you up with an 800 number. They'll say, well, what do you want your number to spell? Because they've got 200 or 300 numbers reserved with AT&T. Now say, look, I've got lots of numbers here. Tell me what you'd like for it to spell. And if they can find something close, they'll give you that number. So they set you up with your own 800 number. They have 24-hour answering service. If you just want them to answer orders and fax you the orders, they'll do that. If you want them to answer their orders and take Visa MasterCard and get those cards authorized and processed, they'll do that. If you want them to take the orders, get the cards processed, and actually ship your product, they'll do that. And now that's assuming you've shipped them plenty of product for them to ship out. So they have order processing, Visa MasterCard processing, and order fulfillment service. And they will tailor it to the way you want.
What about answering questions about your product?
What they did to us is they sent us a questionnaire that we filled out about our product. And they'll answer as many questions as they can. And at some point where they go beyond their knowledge, rather than to just come up with some answer, they'll tell them, well, look, let me give you the name of the home offices, and you can call and ask for Bill or Karen or Sissy. And that's what we tailored at them. Because if we don't want anybody asking our order line questions on our nickel. I mean, if it's 800 number, we don't want somebody lonely and looking for someone to talk to call and talk to these people for 2 or 3 hours a day. And that happens sometimes. You know, people develop a relationship with the operator, and they call back and call back and call back and never place an order. Well, if you're paying for this guy's romance, it's not worth your time. So you want the operator, if it's an order, to get him on the line, be very courteous, talk to him, provide a lot of confidence in your ability to deliver the product. But you're not trying to develop relationships, or at least that type of relationships, between operators that aren't your employees and people that aren't your customers yet. You see, this is called Marketing Tools Alert. Looks like a newsletter. Pretty good-looking example of a newsletter, except there's not... It's really a catalog. And it has a lot of products that you might be interested in. I think this is a really great way to get something read because you're sending it to people. They think it's a free newsletter. It's got a great newsletter title to it. It's got a table of contents. It does have a couple of articles in it, but it's really a catalog for products. Numbers News tells you what's working. This is a report that comes from American Demographics. It tells you what offers are out there by major mailers, how those offers were structured, and whether they're working or not. You might be interested in this because if you're going to piggyback your offer onto somebody else's offer, you know, if somebody four walls all the advertising with a huge major product and everybody in the country has seen that ad and already familiar with that product, if you could come up with something that will piggyback onto that ad, then it's a good chance because the first offer went in and kind of broke the ice for you, and you can follow up with the second offer, it might be as successful. Mailers, you need to look at this. These are the people that sell the complete, say, California phone book on CD. You can buy every legal address in the United States of America on a CD for $640. It's updated every 90 days. It's available from the U.S. Post Office. These are the people I know that sell it. They have demographics of every zip code in the country on the CD, which means you can take a mailing list that you've purchased from somebody, say Karen, and run a demographic search on it and know by the zip code that this person lives in what the average income of that zip code is. Wait for the microphone, please. No, it's not okay because we have cameras.
Do they have unlisted phone numbers too?
No, that's against the law. And as a matter of fact, if you do a direct mailing to somebody who's got an unlisted phone number, the odds are they're not going to appreciate it. It's like me. There's no one in this room that knows my address. I'm not on any mailing list. I mean, we're trying our best to keep a real low profile. And we set up our utilities. We did not set them in our home address. Our address is not listed with the city register. And what's amazing is that we've only been in our house 6 weeks and we're on a mailing list already. That some of the companies that are really smart use address forwarding. So we transferred all our mail to our business address. But some companies, they don't want your business address. They want your real home address because they know that if you mail a letter to somebody at home, the odds are much greater that it's going to get read and acted on than if you mail it to somebody in their business.
Well, one of the things we haven't talked about are three-line and four-line addresses. What do you think the difference between a three-line and a four-line address is?
Tell them what a three.
A line.
Tell them what a three-line and four-line address is.
Where you put it on the envelope? How big the label is?
Usually.
Stand up.
How do you know I'm not?
Where's that hole that you're always standing in?
Three-line address. If I write to Karen Anderson at my home address in Hearst, Texas. And the zip code, that's a three-line address. The four-line address is going to be Karen Anderson, KSA and Company, at my business address, and it's a four-line and a three-line. So if you're looking at four-line addresses, chances are that you've got a company name in there, or you've got a designation president, or chief...
PO box.
Or, yeah, their PO boxes, those kinds of things. So that when you look and you'll see a three-line address and four-line address, chances are the four-line address is going to be a more business-oriented address. A three-line address is going to be more of a personal address.
I never thought about that. So you mean if we get a mailing list and we wanted it to go through and to pull primarily homes, we should go for the three-line addresses rather than the four-line addresses. Good point. Thank you. There's a catalog from the American Custom Color Printing Catalog. We've never used these people. We order their catalog primarily for ideas. One of the things that we really like is they do full-color single sheets, full-color postcards. They do all kinds of neat full-color catalogs. Obviously, before you do business with them or anybody else, you should call and get quotes from several different printers. Our printer doesn't do color. Our printer. Most printers specialize in a certain area. But if you want
color.
Four color.
Four color.
Yeah, four color. Right. He does color, but not four color. But you can have postcards and brochures made for a quite reasonable amount. Anyway, this is in there. And there's another printer catalog. You will have to develop a relationship with your printer. Paper. Obviously, in our business, we use a lot of paper in our office machines. Here's a source for that. Different kinds of paper. More office products catalogs. If you're buying your office products from an office products store, the likelihood is you're getting screwed pretty big. You need to look through these catalogs to see the prices that you really ought to be paying. We buy, the legal pads in here, we buy 100 legal pads for less than $40. And fountain pens, we buy 100 pens. They come in a dozen. No, they come in a gross for about $20 a gross. National bag, that's a good catalogs. You know, pet owners will almost do anything for their pet. If you have a product for pet owners, you can be very specific about the type of pet they have. You might have a good market there. Home automation laboratories. Who is in here that has a product with the voice activated? It's in here. Yeah, it's in here. But this is security stuff. Anything that's related to security would be real well. The problem with this catalog, you'd have to be a nuclear engineer to understand anything he says. He's got some outstanding products, but I sat down and read the description over and over and over and over and over before I knew what he had. And that's going to be his major problem. He has several underexploited products in here. And it might be worth your while, if you see something that looks real interesting, to buy one, find out who the manufacturer is, buy them directly from the manufacturer, direct mail them, because security is going to be... Another catalog is privacy and security if you want your own bulletproof vest. Did anybody look through this catalog? There's something in here that's real interesting. There are several things that are real interesting. I particularly like this right here. I don't know, you cannot see this enough as far back as you are, but basically it is two lamps attached to a pole. It's a security light with infrared sensor. Oh, that's what it looks like. Actually, it's a video camera. And he, in this catalog, he has video cameras that look like exit signs. He has video cameras that look like sprinkler heads. He has video cameras that look like pencil sharpeners. Things like that. If you're in a business, I hope to know you're in a business where you're worried about what's going on in your office, or if you have children and you're worried about what they may be doing in their rooms, he has video cameras that will fit almost anywhere. And then he has a video camera detector. So you can walk into any room, and I don't know how it works. Now here's a picture of his video cameras. One's a time clock, one's just a standard wall clock, one is a radio, so you can give your teenage son who's about, oh, better yet, your teenage daughter who's 15, this little clock radio that she puts in her bedroom. You can see she has visitors. There's table lamps, but I mean, there are lots of things you should look in here. He has a whole catalog, and what hurts him is that every item in here has a wow appeal, but by the time you finish reading the whole catalog, you said, man, that was a neat catalog, and you put it down. But if he were to send you a letter on a single product, when you finish the letter, you say, wow, isn't that a neat product? You don't want somebody to say, isn't that a neat catalog, or isn't that a neat letter? You want them to say, isn't that a neat product? That's what I want today. So his problem, I think his problem, is he's combined too many wow-type products in a catalog, and you think, that's a neat catalog. I mean, I keep it for reference, and I've ordered everything he's got. Well, I've ordered his number one high-profit item. And in here, his least expensive item is about $399, except for his most high-profit item. And that's on the back cover. And that is a SpyTech video catalog. And basically, it's a catalog of everything in here. He sells it for $20. And I contacted him about this because I bought a copy of it. And I asked him about his video catalog. He says his number one selling item is his highest profit item. And he said it's real interesting. People pay him $20 for the right to see on video products that they've already seen on paper. And he said he discovered that most people make copies of those tapes and give them to their friends. So they're doing him a service. They're paying him the right to distribute his tape free, his catalog free to his friends.
That's what I was going to mention, Bill, that I got a copy of that video catalog, and all my friends, they come and look at it.
Have you seen it? You know, he puts on a bulletproof vest. I mean, this is great. They demonstrate a bulletproof vest. He puts on his bulletproof vest. Somebody shoots him. He curses. He falls down. He stands up. He curses. He says, don't ever let me do that again. He pulls the vest off, and he's okay, except for a big old bruise. It's worth $20. I highly recommend this video. Oh, it's $14.95, not $20.
Bill? Then, as a product, what you could do is find a catalog that had wide appeal, just a catalog. You could shoot a video. You could go and offer the guy for absolutely nothing to videotape all of his products and then have your own self fulfill the $20 videotape, and he gets
right.
The product for free. So he will be attractive to him, and you will be able to sell videotapes. And if it's this guy's highest profit item, you're taking all the profit.
That's right.
So you could do it with Tiffany Lamps. You could do it with anybody that makes unique products.
How many people subscribe to Soldier of Fortune magazine? Did you know, if you subscribe to Soldier of Fortune, you've seen this. This is a full-page, back-page ad in Soldier of Fortune magazine for the last 3 years.
Bill,
and all he advertises is videotape.
Bill, I've got a good...
Stand up. Is it true you were riding go-karts last night?
It is.
Oh, I would have paid anything to see that.
It only cost $3, and John Carlton paid, but I mean, you know, we can go.
So is this like a public event? Is there a mission? Can we watch you? Are you going to ride go-karts again today?
I'm going at lunchtime, yes.
Okay.
Where's
my video
on it?
Did you make a video of the
book? Well, I think that there's a better way. I think that we ought to have the Paranoid Toolkit. And I think what we ought to do is we need to go back to the origins of my meeting Bill, where he showed this video of this man blowing his fingers off. How many of you have seen this video, The Toy Man's James Bond, made by Joe Morin? Okay, well, Bill had this behind him while he was going through a box. The man is fixated with closed containers. And he's got this video of this guy's fingers blowing off and these big explosions and all this kind of stuff. And this guy really looks like he belongs, I don't know, in about a 6x6 padded room. And here's Gorilla Bill going through a box like this, and he timed it very carefully, so his box was 57 minutes exactly. And I think we need to start out with that, because there is a library of paranoid products unparalleled. And all you need to do this product, this is a wonderful, this is an assembled product, we've not talked about this, where you take everybody else's stuff and you assemble it in some new and really wonderful and dazzling and truly breathtaking way. And I think if you start out with that blowing your fingers off tape, okay, and use that as a lead generator, I think that you can just wring money till the cash register runs out of bells out of the paranoid market, and you can back up with all of these free tapes. You get these people to give them to you. You know, cheap. I think it's the idea of the 90s.
How many people here got something in the last 10 days? The catalog of free catalogs. Yeah, it's a little catalog where you see all these free catalogs except for they cost you $2 a piece. So the guy who's in the catalog has to make pretty good money, isn't he? Because he's selling somebody else's catalogs for $2 a piece, and then if you don't, he says, if you don't order something this month, you'll never get this catalog again. What John Eager said was real interesting. You could write a letter to the paranoid market. Dear friend, I have some products that you're probably interested in, but I can't tell them about you, because if I did, I'd have to kill you. But...
And I have attached a $1 bill for this letter for two very good reasons.
But if you'll send me $29.95, I'll send you a videotape anonymously. It won't be from me. It'll be in a brown paper wrap, brown paper package. But again, it's strategy. It's the right product for the right market.
To your secret mailbox, we will send you a video.
And we already know your secret mailbox.
And if I tell you how I got your name, I would have to kill you. But the dollar bill is attached to it for two very good reasons. One, I wanted to get your attention. And two, I wanted you to know that Jose from Houston will be at your door. And if you do not give me one half of this dollar bill, we are going to blow up your secret mailbox.
Now, you know, we laugh, but that's how spontaneously you can create a product that it would sell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it takes.
That would kill for that.
Actually, you don't need one on a first name basis to kill for that.
I'm going to show you how easy it is to create a product. This morning, the alarm went off, and I was listening to the soybean report, which is the first time I've heard the soybean report in 100 years. Anyway, soybeans went maximum up last night. Soybean commodity went full limit up last night, which means a lot of people who are futures traders make money, a lot of them lost money. But the reason the soybean market went full limit up last night was the Department of Agriculture and the long-range weather forecast for the summer of 1992 is that we have a drought as bad as 88, maybe as bad as 82, maybe as bad as the worst drought of the century, because we're already down on water when the soybean producers realize that this means we may have a zero crop soybean. So you say, well, what does that have to do with direct mail marketing? Well, it has a lot to do with direct mail marketing because you have commodity traders out there who want to make money any way they can. And what you could do is you could take charts of the major commodity markets from the last three droughts, which is all public domain information, package them up in a three-ring binder, and offer these to commodity traders in a special letter. Dear commodity traders, and you know, you could actually write the letter today because you don't need a package for a couple of weeks. Dear commodity trader, it looks like the summer of 92 is going to be just like the drought of 88, the drought of 82, maybe the worst drought of the decade or the century. A lot of people lost money in those 3 years, but a lot of people made money. And if you'd like to know how the money was made and how the market moved through the summer, we have charts of the major commodities, including gold, silver, soybeans, corn, oats, all the other stuff. We'll make that chart package available to you if you order within the next 24 hours for $99. Also included in that is a videotape commentary by newscasters through that period. Also is a report telling you which businesses and products were up and which ones were down during the drought. Obviously things like air conditioners were up. Movies were up. Ted Nicholas has a movie that he's invested in that's going to break in 2 weeks. And this is the best news he could possibly have. Because in a long, hot summer, when it's too hot to sit at home and too hot to go anywhere, where do you go? You go to a movie theater. And it's going to be a good summer for that. But that's how easy it is to create a product. You just keep your ears open. You listen to what's going on. If you have a word processor, you can sit down, crank out the letter, mail. What's it going to cost to mail 1,000? $600. So you risk $600. You mail it today, which you know all these commodity traders woke up this morning with the market limit up. So they're aware something's going on. They're going to scramble around wanting some information to balance this stuff to. Sure, they can go look it up themselves, or you can do it for them. You can mail a letter, you can produce a letter today, because it doesn't have to be much of a letter. It can just be a marketing alert letter, a one-page letter. You could mail it today, they'd have it by Tuesday, you'd have all your orders hopefully by Friday of next week, and then you could scramble around trying to put the book together. But that's how quick you can create a product, because we just found a market of people who are concerned about something. They're concerned that the drought's coming. Now, the drought will affect a lot of other business, but I thought commodity traders being it, most basically fools and gamblers would be people interested in that. Okay. Back to the stuff in the catalog, small business development. This is a good example of people of someone who's bought up books. All his books are in three-ring binders. You know what that means? Instead of selling books for $7.95, he can sell books for $99.95. Same information, he's just repackaged it back up. Also, there's a video bookshelf, another good example of a catalog selling books. He's selling it to a very targeted market, obviously video producers. Eden Press. How many are familiar with Eden Press? Look through it. These guys have interesting products. They're all underpriced, they're all under-marketed, very poorly exploited. There's some videotapes in here. He's got a book on privacy for $18. There's the Get Even videotape, which is real interesting, shows you how to get even. The More Revenge videotape, stuff like that. This is Carl Galletti's catalog, Hard to Get Books. If you want real books on real marketing, books that probably aren't available, books that you should have in your library, they're in here. The book marketing update. Remember, well, we talked about this yesterday. These are, everybody who receives this are writers, or aspiring writers who have written a book and are trying to market it. And in most cases, they're trying to get their book marketed by a publisher. Now, what does it take for any of you to be a publisher? It takes a telephone. You call a writer and say, look, I'm a publisher interested in publishing books about how to make money raising earthworms. And I see that you've written this book 12 years ago about how to raise money raising earthworms. Has really anything in the technology changed about raising money with earthworms? And he'll say, no. You raise them the same way you have for the last 3,000 years. So, well, that's good. Would you be interested in selling, say, the mail order rights of this book? And after hearing Ted yesterday, you know what else to say. So we may sell, you know, we have techniques that allow us to sell 10,000 to 20,000 copies of this book. We really don't want to spend much money acquiring the rights, but we'd be interested in paying you royalties. Would you be interested in maybe 2% royalties on 10,000 book sales? Now, this is a book that he wrote 12 years ago when he was young. You might be able to pick it up that way. Anyway, here's a good place to find contacts like that. Now, let's talk about the mechanics of mailing a package. In a typical mailing, you have several components. You've got the outside envelope. You've got the inside offer, which in most cases is a one sheet of paper, 11 by 17, which looks like four pages, or actually four sheets of paper, or in case of Gary, 32 pieces of paper or 96 pieces of paper, but usually you have 11 by 17, which is less expensive to print, less likely to get lost when a person gets it. That's what we call the offer letter. You'll have an order form. You have a return envelope. Even if you don't want them to use the return envelope, that return envelope with your business address, it cannot have a P.O. box number. It's got to have a street address. The return envelope is there for one purpose, and that's to build confidence in your consumer that you actually exist, that you're just not somebody out there working from a P.O. box.
We can talk about BREs and BRCs.
Bill, I had a question concerning the return envelope that you had in your offer for the watches. I showed this offer to my wife, who is probably the greatest critic in the world, but she was excited about the watches, but when she came to your order form and the envelope, she said, oh, they must have made a mistake. Now, I realized the purpose that you made your envelope smaller than your order form.
That's right.
But her impression and my impression was, well, do I have the confidence in this company? I mean, she was turned off by the idea that it was so obvious that the order form wouldn't fit in the envelope.
To do that on purpose.
I understand that.
Now, why don't you bring that envelope up here? We did a couple things here.
But isn't that part of turning off your customer?
No, your wife wouldn't order by envelope. I mean, she looked at it from an analytical point of view, and your wife is very intelligent to catch that. Most people wouldn't catch that. The order form won't fit in the envelope unless you fold it in half. And we received them, and we were surprised at the number of orders we did receive in envelopes. But the order form is actually larger than the envelope. And the real reason is the order form is 5,000 times more important to us and our customers than the envelope. Because a lot of times they won't read the four-page letter. All they're going to do is look at the order form. And our order form on the back is a picture of everything you get with bullets of everything you get. And we don't just tell them what these things are. We tell them why they'll want them on the order form, because they may not read anything else in the letter except for the order form. And it says, includes the introduction to collecting watch, and tells you if you place your order by... So here's the order form you're supposed to fill out, and on the back side, if you place your order by phone, you receive free, and it tells you what you receive free. And on the front, it tells you you get something free and for faster service. And on the envelope, in blue ink, can you see that? Like it was handwritten. It says, for same-day service. Now, how many people want same-day service when you're hot for something? Everybody wants same-day service. It says, call 1-800 toll-free and order by credit card, and we will ship the order within 24 hours.
But aren't you losing a great deal of your market, that people who would rather pay by check than put their credit card out there to a company that they don't know yet?
Well, what we've discovered in everything we do, 95 to 98% of people who order from us order by credit card.
Another thing to remember is anyone who is not going to want to fold that into that envelope is also not going to want to go and get a stamp and not going to want to walk to the post office to post it. I mean, you know, you... If someone wants to pay by check, they're going to just make that simple fold and slot that in there.
Yeah. And plus, now remember, we're mailing to a list of people who have proven that they buy through the mail using credit cards. I mean, they have a proven history of buying through the mail using credit cards.
There are some people that do like to actually write their name and put the stamp on and do all those kinds of things. What Bill is talking about is a return envelope that he created and put into his package. The other thing that there is, and everybody's seen them, is a business reply envelope. This is an account that you can set up at your local post office. And what happens is that it has, you'll see on the corner where the stamp is postage paid by whatever.
I would not do that. I know a lot of companies do that. No, a lot of companies do that. They send you a postage paid envelope. But if you're sending to the wrong market, there are lots of books out there that tell you what to do with somebody who sends you unsolicited mail. And what you'll discover is that people take your postage paid envelope, take it, tape it to a brick, and mail it. This is first-class postage on a brick to your office. And if enough people do that, it gets to be, it's depressing to get all these bricks in the mail.
Well, and it is to some extent a reflection on your offer. Nevertheless, you should first start by firing the copywriter, and then you won't get any more bricks. You will find that in most of the offers that you get, the business reply envelope is primarily limited to subscription renewals for magazines.
Or newsletters.
And the reason for that is that market research indicates that those people are self-selected, already identified buyers. You will not find, I have never seen a business reply envelope in a direct response offer. Never. Ever. But you will see business reply envelopes in subscription and newsletter renewal offers, because their ad rates... That is true. They do work. But they work in two ways. One, they get more people to subscribe, and two, the real effect of that is that their ad rates are based on their renewal percentages and their subscriber retention. So, that's how they calculate their rates.
Well, what surprises me is that Pat and Sandy didn't use, I mean, of all the other good things that they did, I'm surprised they didn't use a return address envelope on their hunting tape. Imagine what they would have got shipped through the mail. So you've got to be careful. Ted Nicholas.
In Enterprise, we found that experimented with all kinds of envelopes and return procedures and so forth. And what we wind up doing is we used to include in all our outgoing mail business reply envelopes, postage paid. And we did some tests where we got people that just would put other mail offers and so forth there, antagonistic toward direct mail. There's a few that are. But it wasn't for that reason, because that was very small. We actually did tests to see whether any difference between business reply postage paid versus live stamp, where they had to put their own stamp on, and we found no difference at all. So then we switched. So all of our people, if you notice, all the Enterprise offers that you get, you have to put your own stamp on. Now, as a counterbalancing point with Bill, I believe you should make it as easy as possible to order for the person and give them the option if they want to send a check or use a credit card. Let them do it. As long as they send you money, I never turn down money, whether it's by check or credit card, because it's easier. Some people, I know one-third of the people in the United States don't have a credit card. We never segmented, however, people by credit card and by non-credit card. We would sell on our mailing list all the people on that list, whether they had a card or not. So that's a different approach, and that's the approach we found most successful for our offers.
Right. What Ted is saying is remove every single roadblock between you and their ability to send you money. And as a matter of fact, what we have on ours is we accept COD. We want them to call us and say, we want them to call and say, I would order from you, but the order form won't fit into the envelope. Well, great, I'll tell you what we'll do. Since you're going to send us a check anyway, we'll just ship the product out to your UPS, and you can pay the UPS driver. And they go, will you do that? Sure. I'd love to. We'll go out today. And every time anybody says, I'm going to renew, but I'm going to send you a check, we go, great, that's super, but since you're already going to do it, I'll tell you what, we'll just send it out to your UPS. And they go, will you? Sure.
What percentage of your people, Bill, actually mail back rather than calling this 800 number?
2%, maybe 1%. But on every offer we have, whether we have full-size envelopes or small-size envelopes, they do that. What we're trying to do is help them decide that they want to use the phone, because most likely people are going to be reading this at 7 or 8 o'clock at night after they come home from a long day of work and read all your other mail, and they're sitting there reading this by the phone. Mm-hmm. Now, if they make a mental decision to purchase from us by letter, means that they're going to have to do some other stuff. They're going to have to go find an envelope and put a stamp and some other things. So we want to just make it so they can call by the phone. So
if I may summarize, I have two questions. Number one, you're saying the reason you made your card bigger than the envelope was to encourage them to call the 800.
No. Well, the reason my card is bigger than the envelope is that my card is much more important than the envelope. The card reinforces the offer. The card is going to get read even if the offer doesn't get read. We have pictures on the card. The card's a different color. It's much more important to the offer than the envelope. The real reason the envelope is in there for our mailings is to build confidence in our consumers that we actually have a street address, and if they chose to come visit us, we would be there.
But you're still, this gentleman's wife was very upset by that, so you're turning that...
Yeah, but she was looking at that offer not from the point of view as a purchaser, but as a critic. I mean, there's a difference. This is just like saying movie critics. Ted's movie is going to get panned so much by the critics, and every liberal magazine in this country is going to say this is the worst thing that ever happened. But you know what that's going to cause? He's going to have to turn people away. They're going to have box office. It's going to be a huge box office smash because the critics said it was bad. The critics hate Terminator movies. The critics hate Rambo movies. But what do the consumers do? I mean, just because the critic says this is a great, moving, sensitive movie, are you going to go or are you going to say, oh, the critics liked it, I don't want to go see this one?
But my experience, and I got a little different twist on what Bill is saying, is that I have lists that people do, that are retired people, that are at home, that don't want to just pick up the phone. They want to sit, they go through their mail, and they do whatever. And I don't want to irritate those people by giving them a response device that isn't going to fit in an envelope. I've done it before when I've gotten packages, and the only way to do it is to make the envelope, the inside envelope, smaller, and it won't fit. But then I don't use a cardstock. I print it on paper that they can rip off or fold, and it's not irritating to stick it in the envelope. But if you've got a card that looks like a bill, you know when you get your statements and there's an envelope to return, I hate it when I have to fold the stuff and stick it in there. I like the ones that I can just slip it in. I hate the FedEx bills because they don't provide you anything and I always have to look up the stupid address for FedEx to pay the bill. You know, the things that make it difficult for you to respond to the order are the things that you want to minimize. So if you've got on cart, and see, this is card stock.
See, all this has to do with knowing your audience.
That's right.
And so, who you're mailing to, what are their buying pattern habits.
Is the kind of person that goes, oh, this is hot, and they pick up the phone. You know, some of the lists that I have are a very different kind of person who responds to a different kind of medium. So even the cardstock, whether you use a separate response device, and you can call it an order form, I just call it a response device. Whether it's a cardstock response device, whether you read your body copy and it leads into the response device, so you start with dear friend and you end up with yes, I will, down at the bottom. There are a lot of different ways to do it. And again, it's the same kind of thing. The reason that we know our audience is that for these particular lists is that, you know, we've tested it and we've tried it in different ways and we see how they respond. But I personally don't like to irritate a person either by the telephone, whether you want your order taker to sound friendly, or whether you want the person to easily put in a reply envelope.
You'll discover that everything you do, you should be doing for your audience. If you call our office today to place an order, the chances are 5 to 1 that the call will be answered by a female with a sexy voice. And if you're a man, she's going to be so friendly to you that you're going to think, you know, she's probably pretty nice, and I'm single, and it's not that expensive to fly to Hot Springs. I mean, how many people have called my office and talked to Sissy on the phone and thought, you know, this woman has a tremendously sexy voice? And if you talk to her in person, it's a little bit different, but... that is part of her job, and that's a part of the job of everybody who answers our phone. We tell them to be extremely nice to these people. These are the most important people in the world. Treat them just like you would treat somebody who had walked in. Be nice to them, and if they enjoy you talking to them on the phone, then by all means do that, because these are real people and most valuable people to our business.
And my second question is to Ted, if you will. Ted, you talked about taking checks as part of your business. Can you give us some ideas to what sort of bad check percentage you get out of that? Is it? And then second, if I may, follow up with that question after you answer. I've got another one.
The answer to that question is yes, we would get some bad checks in with... First of all, the number of orders coming in, there is approximately... 30, 40, 50% of the orders, depending on the offer, come in by check. So it's a very significant, even though...
Now, is this for my single product offer or for a catalog?
Single product offers. Lots and lots of people out there like to send a check in an envelope. Why that is, I'm not sure. I just want to make it easy for them. Also, money orders. Some people like money orders. They don't have a checking account. We accept checks or money orders. Also, we do a lot of business with people that live overseas and read my ads on airline magazines all over the United States. They're traveling in the States, vacationing, and so on. And we're very happy to take international money orders and also the foreign payment, what do you call it, when the money comes.
Euro currency?
Not euro currency. God, there's a name for the foreign that's convertible to... Ask your bank. Simple thing. We take that, too. Any form of currency we take. Thank you.